You know, there's times in the life when God taps you on the shoulder like he does right now during the time of communion. When he says, you know what, I love you more than you deserve. As you take that bread and you drink that cup, you're meditating right now on the fact that Jesus Christ continues to lift you up when you're down. I was in Arizona and I met a gentleman, his name was Matt McElroy, and he's a pastor, and he decided when I started asking him for some guidance, he started investing in me. And it was in that moment I realized that God's way too good. Why would Mac invest this much into me? Why would he invest to mentor me and love me? And he would take my family off to get ice cream. We'd go and get ice cream, and he and his wife Carolyn and would take us, and he would tell the kids, hey, get whatever you want. Get whatever you want. Of course, Rachel wasn't really keen on that, but, you know, we allowed to go with it anyway because Mac was paying. And then all of a sudden, they would get anything they wanted for ice cream. That's what they got. And we sit there and talk and with Carolyn, and Carolyn and I and Rachel would be at the table at some point, and we'd go, where's Mac at? We turn around, Mac had taken our kids and went up for a second round of ice cream or with them. And get whatever you want, don't tell your mom or dad. You know, that's kind of how Mac was. And Mac mentored me. He was a pastor from California. And another guy he mentored way before me was a guy named Doug Crozier. And Doug Crozier, CEO of the Salmon Foundation. And I realized that through Doug and through Mac and now Barry, that they walk the walk, that they really do love Jesus Christ, and they really do love me. They love this church. They love you more than you could ever comprehend. I just want to say right now, without Matt McElroy and without Doug Crozier and even Barry Cameron, RCC is not where it's at. But because of that, they have followed the principles we're going to hear today, that they have allowed God to be first in their life, and they have decided to make great decisions by being obedient to God, RCC is blessed. We don't do what we do here at RCC without their faithfulness. And now we build on top of their faithfulness with our faithfulness, and more people come to Jesus Christ. And RCC is just one church out of tons of churches all around this country who've been blessed by their faithfulness in Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful for today. I'm just so honored. I can't tell you how today is a culmination of many, many events that have happened over many years. And here we are with Barry here. And I just want to tell you about Barry. Barry decided in his own life that I need to be debt-free. And so he led his family out of debt. And then he decided, you know what, as a pastor, I need to lead the church out of debt. And so he decided to get Crossroads, and he took Crossroads from 200 people, and they grew up to over 8,000 people say that Crossroads is their church home. Isn't that amazing? From 200 to 8,000 people in Texas. And in that, he allowed, and through his obedience and through his faithfulness, through his leadership, Crossroads is now debt-free as of 2008. 2008, they are debt-free. And I tell you what, God has blessed their obedience through places like Salmon Foundation and through places like RCC. And because of their faithfulness, I'm telling you, we're here today. And so it is an honor, it is really an honor in my heart to present to you for the first time here at RCC on a Sunday morning, Barry Cameron. You guys give it up for Barry as he comes up right now.
Thanks, man. Well, good morning, RCC. It's so good to be with you and to be with Nathan and Rachel and Ty and Travis and Anthony. And there's so many great people here that I can't remember everybody's names. But for those of you who are old timers, Dennis Bratton is a very dear friend of mine, and he's a hero to me. And I know he had an influence on this church as well. And someday people are going to be talking about you and what you did on this earth, not just here at RCC, but living here. What difference did you make for Jesus Christ? And I hope you'll make that commitment. I'm going to do everything I can, every way I can, to make Jesus known. I want to talk about finances today. That was never my choice. I think God has an incredible sense of humor to take a guy like me that was miserably in debt. I didn't even know how to balance a checkbook 20 years ago. And now travel all around the country, written several books on finances. In fact, the ABCs, the book that most of you have read, that's our story. That's how we get out of debt. We just recently released a new book called The Road to Financial Freedom. We even have some of those here today. But that's your story. So what do you mean you don't know our story? That's the plan that anybody can follow and turn their finances completely around. But I don't want to talk about books today. I want to talk about this book. And I want to talk about God's principles. And in order to do that, I need to show you why we're in such financial mess here in America. I brought a picture. I want you to look. And this picture explains it all. see the gentleman in the red coat, and he's walking down this wooden walkway, and he's thinking about his car payment he's got on that incredible car he's got. He's thinking about that upcoming business trip he's got and all the stress that goes with that. He's thinking about the mortgage on his home and how's he ever going to pay that off and be able to take care of his kids going to college. He's thinking about his financial position and how he's just barely making it week to week. And then there's a dog walking next to him, and the dog's just thinking how cool it is to get to walk with his master. And the picture says, this is why the dog is happier. Does that resonate with you? Let me show you another picture. This is another good one. It says, money cannot buy happiness, but it's more comfortable to cry in a Mercedes than on a bicycle. Okay, that's true too, right? So how do we turn finances around where it's not something we argue about, we fight about, we hate it, we never have enough? How do we turn that around and go from never enough to more than enough? Well, that's why I'm here this morning. And I want to tell you the 7 greatest secrets I've ever learned about finances. Over the last 20 years, Doug Crozier and I have traveled all over the country, even different parts of the world, sharing the same story. And I've thought about trying to change it and trying to add something different. And I can't come up with anything better than these 7 things I'm going to share with you this morning. And they're all from God's Word. Here's number one. Your understanding of where it all comes from will either keep it coming or cut it all off. We're talking about money. Your understanding of where it all comes from will either keep it coming or cut it all off. See, you and I have to answer the question, who owns our stuff? If it belongs to us, we can do whatever we want, right? But what if it belongs to someone else? And what does the Bible say? If you turn to the Bible, which is the only authority on this earth, in this universe, for everything we do, here's what the Bible says. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and those who dwell therein. Uh-oh. It all belongs to someone else. That changes all the rules. See, some people come to church and they say, well, all God wants is my money. No, that's not the issue. The problem is you want God's money. It's all his. You ever thought of that? There's a great verse in Proverbs 17:16. It says this, of what use is money in the hands of a fool because he has no desire to get wisdom? Now you want the Texas translation of that? God is saying, why in the world would I give you any more money when you've been acting like a fool with what I've already given you? You see, our understanding of where it all comes from, it comes from God. It's his. Our understanding and acknowledgement that it all belongs to him and comes from him, we either keep it coming or cut it all off. You know, Jesus said in one of his parables, he said, the reason why God hasn't given you more is because you haven't been faithful with what you have. He said, he who is faithful in little things will be given big things. And right there may be the reason why some of you are struggling financially. God is wanting to trust you. And you'll take a little step of faith, but then you'll step back and trust yourself or someone else. So number one, your understanding of where it all comes from, we'll either keep it coming or cut it all off. Got to get that one right. If we miss that one, it doesn't matter what else we get. Here's number two. What you pursue will determine what you possess. What you pursue will determine what you possess. In other words, whatever you go after, that's usually what you get. If you like to work out, like stay in shape, like take care of yourself, you possess a body today that reflects that. If, on the other hand, you like second helpings of ice cream, cheese pizza, chocolate chip cookies, whatever, you possess that. Some of you are actually sitting beside someone today that you pursued and you possess. That's your possession today. Now, if you're not happy with your possessions, that's a whole other sermon series, and I don't have time for that today, okay? But what you pursue determines what you possess. So if I don't like my possessions, I need to change my pursuits. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. Jesus gave us a secret over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. In fact, if you got one of those Bibles that has the words of Jesus in red, I love that. In fact, I tell people when they ask me, I say, if you'll just do the red parts, you'll be fine. Just do what Jesus says. It's all great. But if you'll do what Jesus says, now listen to what he said in Matthew 6:33. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus made it really clear. He said, you make my Father and his kingdom the number one pursuit of your life, and all these things will take care of themselves. Now, a lot of people will come to church and they'll say, oh, I love, that's great, and God, you're first. And then they rush out the doors, go jump in their car, and they're back even on Sunday afternoon trying to put business deals together, worrying about what's going to happen this week and how can they earn more money and how can they get a bigger house and how can they get a better car. And they get caught in that rat race. And they believe that phony proverb that he who dies with the most toys wins. Listen, he who dies with the most toys still dies. And if all you did was chase toys your whole life and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're in big trouble. You might have had a wild party as life was going on, like the guy that jumped off the top of a huge building in downtown New York City, and as he was falling to the ground, people could hear him say, so far, so good, so far, so good, so far, so good. It doesn't work. So let's change it. Instead of what you pursue determines what you possess, who you pursue. Make God the number one pursuit of your life and watch what happens. Here's number three. What you spend will always be more important than what you earn. What you spend will always be more important than what you earn. See, if you always spend more than what you earn, you'll never make enough. Did you know that? You'll never make enough. Most people here today are making more money right now than you've ever made in your entire life. And you say, well, why am I not farther ahead? Because you're spending everything you get. You get a raise, you spend it. You get a bonus, you go spend it. Why do we do that? My wife just started getting Social Security. Yes, we're that old. And that Social Security check goes in savings. We don't say, okay, well, now we can go buy some new clothes. Or we can go to, first of all, it's not that much money, but second of all, it goes into savings. Why? We want to earn interest off of that to live on years later. Why won't we get this? Someone gives you $100 and says, hey, I just wanted to bless you. Do you just go right out and spend it? Why do we do that? How many of you have a refrigerator at home? Raise your hand. Got a refrigerator at home. It's okay, tell church, truth in church. Now, you're not going to go home after church is over and open that refrigerator and say, well, there's a lot of food there, and okay, I'll eat it all before the sun goes down. You say, Pastor, nobody does that here. We have functioning 2-pound brains. Nobody would eat all the food in a refrigerator just because it's there. So why do we spend all the money in our wallet or our pocketbook or our checking account just because it's there? I can tell every one of you how to give yourself a raise, how to get a raise this week. Anybody interested in that? Want to know how to get a raise? Say, yeah, what do I tell my boss? Don't tell him anything. Just don't spend all your money this week. Develop a habit to never spend all of your money. And do it this week right here. Don't spend all of your money. Guess what happens next week? Don't spend all of your money. What happens the next week? Don't spend all of your money. What happens the week after that? Don't spend all of your money. You do that for a whole year, you know what? You'll change your life. Just don't spend all your money. You want a tip on losing weight? Don't eat all the food on your plate. Don't do it. I grew up in a home where you had to eat everything on your plate. I can remember watching the 10 o'clock news in Oklahoma, and I hadn't left the kitchen table yet because I wouldn't eat my peas. Really? What kind of abusive parents is that? I mean, they're cold. You know, Johnny Carson's getting ready to come on, the old Tonight Show, and I'm still sitting there because I won't eat my peas. And so you know what happened to me? I got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because I always ate all the food that was put in front of me. And then one day I determined, you know what? I don't like looking like that. I don't want to be like that. And so there are a lot of times now, most of the times when I eat, I leave something on the plate just to say, you're not in charge. I am. Don't spend all your money. Don't eat all your food. Realizing that what you spend will always be more important than what you earn. And listen, you have to discipline yourself to do that. Proverbs 13:18 says this. It says, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but he who heeds correction is honored. Let's see, poverty and shame, honor. Poverty and shame, honor. Do you even have to pray about that? No. Just a little different discipline can change it all. Here's number four. Your obedience will determine your abundance. Your obedience will determine your abundance. See, here's what a lot of folks will do, and this is where they get it wrong. They think they can apply a principle here or a principle there that they hear at church, and well, I'll do that one thing, and then they go out and do all kinds of other things the Bible says don't do. It doesn't work that way. Your obedience determines your abundance. You can't just apply the financial principles. I know a lot of people that they'll faithfully tithe, and they should. The first fruits belong to God. The tithe is how we get on the spout where all of God's blessings come out. But just because you tithe doesn't give you a pass to do everything else you want to do, contrary to the word of God. Your obedience determines your abundance. In other words, when we do what God says, we have access to what God has. That make sense? John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. But most people are not living the abundant life. They're living the redundant life. I hope that's not you. But it's the same thing year after year. This year is just like last year. This month's just like last month. This week's just like last week. Nothing ever changes. Just same old, same old. Get up in the morning, out of the same old bed, go in the same old bathroom, get the same old toothbrush, the same old toothpaste, brush the same old teeth. Get in the same shower, take the same shower you've been taking for all these years. Get out of the shower, put on, use towel, the same old towel. You put on the same old clothes. You go out and sit at the same old breakfast nook and eat the same old cereal across the table from the same old people. You've been doing it for years. You go and get in the same old car and you get on the same old roads and go to the same old job and you do the same old thing all day long. Get the same old pay you've been getting. And when it's 5 o'clock and you're done, you get in the same old car, go back down the same old roads to the same old house. You go home and you sit down and watch the same old TV and have the same old dinner with the same old people you've been eating with, and then you go get in the same old bed and you're going to get up tomorrow and do the same old thing all over again. And that's life? No. That's never what God intended for you to do. But you have to put him first. You have to love him. You have to say, you know what, God? This is your world. I am your man, your woman, your young person, and I'm going to do what you say. And just learn to love to be in his presence. I have a couple of grandsons. In fact, I brought a picture with me of my grandsons. This is the one on the left is Will, and the one on this side is Levi. And these two guys have changed my life. I mean, changed my life. And when we were living in our old house, in fact, I think I've got another picture. Is there another picture of my grandsons? Yeah, this is in our new house. Now, that's Will on the right. That's Levi on the left. And they wanted us to have a pool. And in our old house, we didn't have a big enough yard to put a pool in, so we had to buy a new lot. And we had to build a new house. And we had to put in a pool. Why? Because Will and Levi wanted it. And they said, Grandpa, we don't just want a pool. We want a slide for the pool. So guess what? We have a slide. They said, Grandpa, we need video games. We need Galaga. You can see it there. Pac-Man's behind me. And Space Invaders. When we come to your house, we want to be able to play video games. So we have video games. We were sitting at dinner one night not too long ago, and we were talking about RVs. And I'm not against RVs. If you're a RV dealer or whatever, please don't get mad at me, all right? But I said while we were sitting there, I'll tell you right now, one thing for sure, I will never, ever own an RV. I just won't. And my daughter-in-law said, unless Will and Levi ask for one. I love these guys. And Will, the one on the right, he said to us probably dozens of times, if not hundreds of times, I wish I could just come and live with you all. Now, here's what I know. As a grandfather, I've only got about 6 years left, if that long. Until these guys get old enough, we're hanging with Grandpa, it's not that cool and all that. So you know what I'm doing right now? I'm making the most of every day I got. And they got to stay with us several months back for 4 nights in a row. It was a blast. You know, I didn't used to keep up with them, but I had total heart failure a couple years ago and got a pacemaker put in. And now that I have a pacemaker, they've got competition. And I could stay up with them, play games, and we go do this, go do that, whatever. Well, they stayed with us 4 nights. The fourth night, on the fifth night, their parents flew in from where they'd been, And my wife said, I'm going to take the boys down to their house so they can sleep in their own bed tonight when their mom and dad come home and all that. I said, okay. So we said goodbye, and I hugged them and kissed them and told them I loved them. And they got ready to leave, and I went in my office to do some work. I was to pay bills, and I'm in there paying bills and all that. And I don't know what's going on, but Will, the oldest one, said to my wife, she's called Mamie. That's her grandma name. And he said, Mamie, I need a pen. And she said, why? I need to write a note to Grandpa. And so she got him a pen. He said, no, I need one of those marker pens. And so she brought him a marker pen and a piece of paper. He goes, no, I don't need a piece of paper. I need a water bottle. And she goes, what do you need a water bottle for? I said, never mind, I need to write a note to Grandpa. And so he wrote this note on a water bottle and left it there. And they left, and I finished paying the bills. And when I came out to get ready to go to bed, because it was late, I saw this water bottle on the, and I picked it up, and I took a drink out of it. And then I noticed there was some writing on it. And that little guy had written on this water bottle, I really enjoyed staying here. Or no, I love staying here. It was real fun. And then he signed it down at the bottom, Will. And I stood there and bawled like a baby. My wife called me about, I don't know, 30 minutes later. Hey, I wanted to know, did you get Will's note? I couldn't even talk to her. She said, I'll take that as you got it. I'll see you later. In fact, I had a shadow box made. I brought a picture of that water bottle. And that's better than an Academy Award. That's better than a Super Bowl trophy. You know what he was saying? I just love being around you, Grandpa. I love being in your house with you. And that's what God is wondering about you. It's just not about money. It's all his anyway. And what those two boys don't know, they have access to everything I have. In fact, we're changing our will. We're changing our will so that our grandsons have the equal amount as our children. You say, oh, well, that's horrible. Well, do you do what you want with your kids? That's what I'm doing with mine. I love them. And that's the way it works with God. He just wants to know we love him and we enjoy being around him and we want to do what he says because he's God. Your obedience will determine your abundance. Don't miss that. Here's number five. The discipline of saving will be more important than the amount you save. The discipline of saving will be more important than the amount you save. Now, people will always say, well, I don't have any money to save. You know, I spend all my money. Well, don't spend all your money. Don't go to Starbucks. Don't go to Big Gulp or 7-Eleven, get a Big Gulp. Don't go to McDonald's. Go, you know, take just one day a week and use that $5 and put it in savings. And I'll tell you this, if you'll discipline yourself to put something in savings every week, which is something we teach in our new book, You put something in the savings every week, even if it's only a dollar. If I came back 1 year later, the amount would be much higher. You say, well, how do you know that? You don't even know me. Because if you discipline yourself, the amount will take care of itself. You'll begin to see what happens, and you'll want to add to it. It's a very natural progression. And you know what else? It's biblical. Proverbs 13:11 says, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers it little by little makes it grow. Friend, if you're waiting for the big hit at the Las Vegas blackjack tables or playing the lottery or going to the dog track or whatever, you need to know that's dishonest money. And even if you do win it, you won't be able to keep it. That's what the Bible says. I'm not wasting my money on lottery tickets. Are you kidding me? I've been in gas stations where I've actually told people, hey, folks, if you just like to give me that money, it'll go to a better cause. They don't think that's funny. But they're going to lose it either way. Might as well give it to somebody who can put it to good use, you know. No, dishonest money dwindles away. If you cheat on a business report to get more money, you cheat on your taxes, think you're going to get ahead, dishonest money dwindles away. Just gather it little by little. Put something in savings every week. Watch what God does. Here's number six. God will grow whatever you sow. God will grow whatever you sow. Now, I know some of you are going, we flew this guy all the way from Texas to tell us simple stuff like this. Oh, this is simple, but it's phenomenally profound. Whatever you plant, you'll reap. The Bible says that. Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. Luke 6, 38, given shall be given to you. 2 Corinthians, Paul said, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows generously will reap generously. Here's what you need to know. That works negative and positive. If you've been sowing the wrong things, cheating, lying, stealing, negativity, pessimism, I mean, you name it, whatever, immorality, you've been sowing all that stuff. Do you realize that even while you're in church today doing what you ought to be doing, that those seeds are growing, those negative seeds are growing? You go, whoa, stop, stop. I don't want that to grow. Can't stop it unless you stop sowing it. And I'm not saying that your name will be in USA Today tomorrow or you'll be on CNN, but somebody is. You ever notice that? Every day, somebody is. Somebody who didn't think they'd get caught. Somebody who thought they could do the wrong stuff and somehow get a right result. It doesn't work. Who said that? God did. But listen, if you sow the right things, you know what happens? If you say, you know what, God, I've been listening to a series by Pastor Nathan. I've read this book, and God, I'm ready to step up. I want to begin bringing the tithe every week, the first fruits to you. You know what God's going to do? God's up in heaven, and he sees everything we do. And he'll say to his son, and he'll say to the angels, you know what? I think they mean it this time. Let's go down there and really bless them. You know, when our family got out of debt, we had three different mortgage brokers say that I didn't make enough money to pay my house off in 2 years. Look, you don't make enough money. But we did. So how in the world did you do that? I believe God up in heaven looked down and saw this young preacher at the time with his little family who decided to follow his principles. And I believe God said, you know what? Let's go down there and help him. God will do that for you too. But you have to be sowing the right stuff. Here's number 7. Sustained generosity will be the guarantee for your sustained financial success. Sustained generosity. In other words, you can't just be generous once in your life. You can't just go out to the giving box today and drop your wallet in and go, okay, I'm ready. Bless me for the rest of my life. I was generous. No. Got to be generous all your life. And by the way, God differentiates between tithes and offerings. You do know that, right? Malachi 3. Verses 8 to 12, you read that whole thing? He said, you've been robbing me in tithes and offerings. The people decide, oh, we don't need to give. He said, you're robbing me. You're like a criminal. That's why no church leader, no church staff member, no church member should have any kind of ministry if they're not tithing. Why? They're a criminal in God's eyes. You say, well, tithing, that's an Old Testament law. No, it's not. I don't have time to go through all the Bible with you, but trust me. Tithing is mentioned in the New Testament in Matthew 23, 23, Luke chapter 18, 7 times in Hebrews chapter 7. Yeah, it's mentioned there. The first fruits goes all the way from the Garden of Eden when Cain and Abel brought their offerings before the Lord, and Abel brought the firstborn from his flock, the first fruits, and Cain just gathered some leftover stuff on the ground, and God was pleased with Abel's offering and displeased with Cain's. Why? God doesn't want your leftovers. They're his anyway. It's not about the stuff. It's about our heart. But listen, the one thing you can do, I think the singular most important thing you can do for your financial freedom is to be a faithful tither. That's where it all begins. Because you need God's wisdom. You need God's blessing. And God says, if you'll tithe, he said, I'll throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you don't have room enough for it. He says, I'll also rebuke the devourer from touching the things in your fields. You can read it. Literally, he says, if you'll be faithful and bring the tithe to my house, he said, I'll protect all the stuff you already have. The devil can't touch it. So what happens if we don't tithe? Well, you're on your own. Good luck with that. But offerings are above the tithe. You see, the tithe is what we bring back to God because the first fruits belong to him. Now, everything technically belongs to him, right? But when we give him something beyond what he says, bring the first fruits, we give beyond that, that's when the real blessings come. We had a snowstorm in Texas, really bad. In fact, we almost lost the entire grid just a couple weeks ago. We were without power 31 and a half hours. We had to go stay one night with our daughter in her apartment. And it was really tough stuff. A lot of damage. Our church had some damage. Our house had some damage. But that's okay. You know, we'll get through it. But during that storm, we got tired of being in our home. And so we would get out on the road and drive on the snow and ice, try to find some restaurant someplace where we could eat lunch. Not dinner. We wouldn't drive at night, but during the day. And we took our daughter with us, and one day we drove a whole hour. One day we waited 40 minutes in the parking lot of Cracker Barrel. It was the only place that was open. And we waited 40 minutes, and I told my wife, why don't you go in and check and see if it's time for us so we can go in there. And when she walked in, they said, their electricity just went off. They're sending everybody home. But the three times we did get to go eat lunch, you know what we did when the waitress brought us our ticket? We gave her three times what a normal tip would be. There was one girl where after we ate, the tip would have been, I think, around $20. We gave her a $60 tip. And we got talking, and she came back, and she was all tear-filled eyed, and she goes, I just had to come and tell you thank you. She was all overwrought with emotion, and I said, well, ma'am, here's the deal. We appreciate you all being open and having warm food, and we figured you probably got some kids at home or maybe some of your own problems, and we appreciate the sacrifice you made for us. She goes, this is unbelievable. That's what I'm talking about, generosity. I was at Sonic one time, Christmas time, and, you know, they skate to the car. Do you have Sonics here, you know, the drive-in? And she's on her skates and bringing this large Diet Coke on her red tray, and I don't know how she does that. That's pretty good. She could be in the Olympics. And she comes to my car, and she hands me my drink, tells me it'll be $1.70-something, and I handed her a $100 bill. And I took this drink, and I put it in my console, and all of a sudden I heard this rattling noise. And I looked, and her hand was going like on the little change thing. And I said, is there something wrong? And she goes, I can't make change for this. I said, I didn't ask for change. Merry Christmas. And as she went in front of my car, she just, on her skate, said, thank you, the big old crocodile tears coming down her face. That's what I'm talking about. Find a young couple in this church who's struggling to make ends meet and just slip a 20 into their hand. Just say, hey, God bless you. Find a widow or a widower here in this church as you're walking down a hallway and take a $20 bill and slip it into their hand. Just say, hey, lunch is on me today. Now, walk up to some young person who you know is struggling at school or maybe they're in college somewhere and just take a $20 bill and slip it into their hand. Just say, hey, I just want to bless you. I want to tell you to keep going. Don't quit. Be generous. I'll close with one story. Several years ago, I came home from an ABC's weekend, and I used to fly in, and my family would pick me up at the airport. They don't do that anymore. I have to park my own car. But we still meet for dinner. I'll be getting home tonight around 5:30, and they'll meet me at 6:30 for dinner, and we catch up on the weekend, and that way they don't mind me being gone, you know, because it's kind of like they have a couple of days themselves and all that. Well, anyway, they picked me up at the airport. We went to an on-the-border restaurant, Mexican restaurant, and as soon as we sat down, my two daughters were with me and my wife, and one of them wasn't feeling very well, so I don't think they ordered more than just a little soup. But the minute we sat down, they said, our waitress is a single mom. And I go, how do you know that? They go, Dad. And I said to my wife, how do they know she's a single mom? They go, Barry. I go, okay, whatever. So we finished eating our bill. This several years ago, it was about $24 and some cents. And I said, hey, so since it's so obvious that our waitress is a single mom, would you like to bless her? Now, in our family, what that means is we carry around folded up $100 bills. All of us do. And it's one of these. That's if the Lord lays it on our heart that someone needs a blessing, we give it to them. And I said, do you want to bless her? And they go, yeah, let's do, Dad. And I go, you really want to bless her? And they go, what's that mean? I go, just watch. So she brought us that leather thing, you know, that has the bill in there. And she goes, is there anything else y'all need? And we said, no, it's been great. Thank you. And so I pulled out three $100 bills. And I remember our check was $24. So I pulled out three $100 bills, and I put it in there. And she came back to get it, and she goes, sure you don't want drinks? Or no, we're good, thank you. And so she picked it up, and we were getting up to walk out. And she couldn't take but about three steps, and she goes, sir, you've made a mistake. And I said, excuse me? She goes, you made a mistake. I think you thought these were three $10 bills. These are $100 bills. I said, I know. Well, why would you do that? I said, well, we wanted to bless you. And she backed up and said, why would you want to bless me? And I said, well, we're Christians. I didn't tell her I was a pastor. I know I get an F for that. I didn't tell her come to our church. I get an F for that as well. I just told her we were Christians. She goes, you all need to sit back down. So we have our coats on. Now we're sitting at a table with dirty dishes, and she starts to tell us a story. And she goes, I know you have no way of knowing this, but I'm a single mom. I said, obviously. No, I didn't say that. She said, see that little boy over there? That's my son. And she said, my babysitter didn't show up today, and if I don't work, I can't pay my bills. And she said, I called my boss to tell him that my babysitter didn't show up. The boss said, that's not my problem. If you're not here at 5 o'clock, you're fired. And she said, I just started going back to church. And I thought, God, what do I do now? And she started dialing the boss again, and he was still on the phone. She said, listen, there's a little area over in that one part of the restaurant where my son can be, and I can do my job, and that's my area anyway, and he won't bother anybody. If you'll just let me do that tonight, I'll get a new babysitter tomorrow. And the boss said, all right, I'll let him come, but if he bothers any of our customers, you're fired. And she goes, I hope he didn't bother you tonight. And he didn't bother us. He did knock the sugar dispenser over and spilled a drink and some other things, but he didn't really bother us. And she goes, and now you folks give me this. What am I supposed to do with this? I said, well, why don't you take your son and go to a nice restaurant? Well, we were in a fast food restaurant. And then I followed it up with, or go buy him some shoes or something. Well, she thanked us and hugged us, and we walked out. We got in the car, and we were driving on our way home, and my wife was sitting next to me. My oldest daughter, Katie, was sitting behind her. She's now a principal of a elementary school, and Chip, that's my nickname for Kelly, she was behind me. She's married now and works in our children's ministry, but she was in junior high then, and I'm driving the car, and she goes, Dad, could I ask you a question? I said, sure, Kelly, what is it? She said, Dad, were we the only Christians that ate in that restaurant tonight? And the Holy Spirit settled in our car. And I said, no, honey, I'm pretty sure we weren't the only Christians. Not another word was said all the way home. But to this day, the most powerful message I've ever heard on generosity. You see, that what that waitress should have told us was, I got to tell the story. Hang on, folks. And comes back with a little money bag and opens it up full of money and say, you can't believe all the Christian people tonight who have given me money for my boy and for the situation I'm in. My rent is covered now for the next 4 months. She didn't say that. Now listen, it's not because all of the Christians who ate in that restaurant or even all the folks here don't want to be generous. We want to be. I believe generosity is in our DNA. So how do you know that? The Bible says, let us make man in our image. God so loved the world, he what? He gave. Generosity is in your DNA. If you slipped in here today and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, here's what I know about you. Generosity is in your DNA too. You know why? You're made in the image of God. That's why it feels good when you do something generous, and that's why it feels bad when you do something selfish. It happens for everybody. It's universal. We want to be generous, but we can't be generous. You know why? Because we haven't followed God's principles when it comes to finances. But if we start doing that, you're not going to believe what he does. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here this morning, worship together. And God, we know you're not after our money. You're not after our stuff. It's not ours anyway. You're after our hearts. And God, I pray you would have the heart of every single person who's a part of this church, everyone who's on this campus today, everyone who's watching online, that God, you would have our heart and that we would love you and love being in your house and love following your word because we know that's the only way life works. And Father, I pray for those in this service who, as they begin to apply these principles to their life, that God, you would bless them the way you've blessed me and Janice and Katie and Matt and Lindley and Kelly and Johnny and Will and Levi. And that God, they would get to the place where they can't talk about all your blessings without tears like we do. Because it's overwhelming what an incredible God you are. And how when we do what you say, it always works. God, I pray you to bless every individual, every family, every son and daughter, every grandchild, every grandparent, every widow and widower. And God, I also pray that this great church, that you would literally rip open the heavens and unleash a financial revival on this church so that, God, they would literally run out of dreams, before they ever run out of resources again. And Father, we promise we'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' holy and blessed name I pray. Amen.
I tell you, it's amazing. Can we just give God the praise for the word through Barry? Right now, I want to ask, if you didn't get one of these cards, go ahead and raise your hand. We got people in the back who will pass them out to you right now. Raise your hand if you didn't get one of these cards. Just keep them in the air. Keep them in the air if you did not get one. Last week, we handed out these cards, and we got over 100 people to say, yes, I commit to what this is right here on the card. Can we just give God the praise for that? Over 100 people went ahead and said that last week. Amazing. And so for some of us, it was, I'm going to start tithing. And that was the first circle right here you can check on. Others said, you know what, I'm going to start giving faithfully above the tithe. I want to start giving, I'm bringing the tithe, but now I want to give the offering. And then others said, you know what, I'm going to continue. I want to continue, it says, giving faithfully above the tithe to my church. And maybe you belong somewhere else and you want to continue to do that there. That would be amazing. Or maybe it's here. Brian, I give you an opportunity. Some of us have been praying all week, and I hope you've been asking God, what do you want me to do? And now's the time to commit to doing that. So I want to give you that moment to think about that, to pray about it right now. And we encourage you to make sure your name's clearly written on here, but also put your address on there. If we don't have your address, make sure you put your address on this card if you fill it out today. Right now, I encourage you, if you need the prayers to fill out that prayer card, take it to the cross, a response card, maybe today you want to join Sonny and Jaden in giving your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that by filling out the response card. Everybody stand up right now. Everybody please stand. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to give God the praise, give him pure exaltation in this time of worship. Let's give him the glory.